Hello, how are you? A very warm greeting from Spain. And well, let me introduce myself, of course. I am José Luis Martín. I am a captain in the Civil Guard. And well, in my current post, I have been exclusively dedicated to the control of drug precursors for more than 17 years, and perhaps more recently also to the control of explosive precursors. Well, to be honest, we have approached this course with a lot of enthusiasm. We have realized that, in general, our training in this area is quite lacking, which is why I believe it will be very exciting, enjoyable, and productive to learn the little that we can teach. Well, let's get started, and I would like to give a couple of remarks regarding the course in general and the subjects I will be teaching in particular. Drug trafficking and the illegal manufacturing of drugs are constantly evolving, so we must adapt as quickly as possible to the techniques and methods of illegal drug manufacturing. What does that mean? It means cultivating us, reading, studying, and surrounding us with people who have more experience. Then, the second connotation would be to take this as something generic. Why do I say generic? Because the legislation is very different depending on the country we are in. There may be countries with very similar criminal legislation regarding the repression of drug trafficking, but usually there are quite a few differences. What we have been able to discuss, for example, between Europe and Latin America and the Caribbean is very different depending on the country you are in, which is why we understand that something like this should be taken as something global, something generic that serves as a culture for all of us. And, well, take it as such. I also want to ask for your favor, and this is a personal favor. Surely you have experience, you have operations, you have investigations that you have developed. With new things, with new issues that we do not know or that it is always good to expose, which is why I invite you to the forum, at least in relation to my talks, to my subjects. Yes, please. Let us have good feedback and keep ourselves informed, because I am absolutely eager to learn new things, and it is true that you as students can contribute many things to us. Well, without further ado, let's move on to the content of this subject, which is the methodology of inspection actions. What are we going to cover in it? Well, let's go over everything we are going to do, from the moment we plan the inspection, to its preliminary study, its development, and what we will do afterwards. All right. We are going to detail all these things for you. Now I understand that it is something very simple, but it is true that one must have a certain criterion to be able to carry out an inspection properly. Of course, before we start an inspection, we must have some knowledge about the new drug manufacturing techniques and the emergence of new chemical products in our region, and, if possible, orient our inspection work in that direction, if we have the capacity to do so. That is to say, if, for example, we have a new chemical that has not been used in our region, our country, until now, we will focus the inspection work on those companies that are using it, whether they are marketing it, processing it, or storing it, etc., etc., etc. Is that correct? Of course, let's see, we are going to have a comparison of the seizures of chemical products and drugs themselves, of course, that have been carried out in our country. It is very important because it will determine what type of drug is being illegally manufactured in our country and, above all, the type of chemicals that are being used. Then we know that at the international level and, of course, at the national level, there are substances that are regulated. We, for example, here in Spain and Europe, are using the precursor lists from the 1988 United Nations Convention, and those are the lists of regulated products that we are going to focus on. There are many other products that are not regulated, which we will see, or you may have already seen, that are almost as important as those that are regulated. And we haven't even mentioned the new ecoactive substances, where we also have a huge problem similar to that with designer precursors, that is, those precursors that are not on the list of regulated substances but are created solely to replace regulated precursors. Agreed. Well, once we have knowledge of our consumption and trafficking trends, we must determine a risk. So, if for example we see that a lot of cocaine is being produced in our country, then we might need to assess the risk associated with the control of potassium permanganate, which is an oxidant commonly used in the production of cocaine and is very, very strictly controlled at the international level. In addition to the example I have given you, besides potassium permanganate, sulfuric acid, acetone, ethyl ether, methyl ethyl ketone, toluene, or hydrochloric acid can also be used in the processes of cocaine manufacture, etc., etc., etc. Therefore, we must have prior knowledge of what we are looking for. And of course, we achieve that through our knowledge of drug consumption and trafficking trends in our country. As we have said before, the substances not subject to regulation, that is, those used by criminals, to replace those that are regulated, are increasingly numerous. The precursors that appeared years ago have little to do with what appears today. Why? As mentioned, criminals seek alternatives to already controlled products. By doing so, they attempt, and unfortunately often succeed, to evade police controls to avoid the manufacture of drugs. So, well, we are always a little bit behind, which is why we must always have extensive knowledge of the new trends in illicit drug manufacturing. Well, now that we know perfectly well what drugs are manufactured in our country and what type of precursors we have intervened with, we have an idea of all that. What do we need now? Well, the next step would be to get to know the operator, that is, to get to know the company, the business that we are going to inspect. Why is it so important to know? Well, because of course, we don't know if it is a legal company engaged in illegal activity, do we? We assume so. Because initially all the controls suggest that it is. But it may be that the production or part of that production of precursors or that trade of precursors is diverted towards an illicit end. Be very careful with the chemical company, the pharmaceutical company, because they are especially susceptible to being used for the diversion of precursors. That is to say, it is not normal, but I, for example, do know of cases in Spain, and forgive me for referring to what I know more intimately, where criminals buy perfectly legitimate companies to dedicate them to their illicit activities. That is to say, we were given a case of a company authorized to commercialize ephedrine, which is a precursor of methamphetamine, and some criminals bought it. With what intention? To divert that ephedrine, initially purchased legally, towards a trade. Towards an illicit manufacture that will take place in another country. Obviously, it is much simpler if the company we have is legal, has all the permits, and all the paperwork in order, so it is essential to be very careful with this. We will also monitor all types of companies. Be very careful with companies involved in transportation and storage as well. Alright, let's move on to another detail that we will see next. Let's see if we are able to determine the risk posed by these companies. I repeat, before going to conduct the inspection, we must always have a thorough understanding of the company we are going to face, so to speak. That is to say, assuming that all companies initially have a lawful purpose. Well, within the detailed study of the operator, it is important to know the police or judicial background of the company's personnel, starting from its board of directors, and if we can gather data on operators, warehouse workers, transporters, and other types of workers who perform any kind of activity. Why? Because if anyone has a record related to illegal drug trafficking, we need to be especially careful and much more thorough in the control of the company. In other words, anyone can be a criminal, not necessarily the parties or the classes, or the less qualified workers, but anyone can be a criminal. And that is why I have explained to them the case that occurred in Spain with a company where another company was illegally purchased. A company that reports frequent thefts or frequent disappearances may be suspected of diverting those regulated products into illicit trade. That is to say, it is not normal for a company to report every so often that they have been robbed, whether it's 50 liters of hydrochloric, then 150 of permanganate, then 125 of acetone, it is not normal. Therefore, a significant number of reports related to thefts or disappearances should alert us to the possibility of illegal activity. Once we have those repeated reports of theft and disappearances, what do we need to do? Therefore, investigate within our capabilities the people related to the incidents, the work shifts that coincide with the disappearances, the staff who have not been physically present during working hours at the time of those thefts, the personnel who can be charged with a lack of diligence or vigilance in those activities when the theft occurs, as well as any other abnormal circumstance that we can determine regarding the history of sanctions or regulatory breaches. It is also very important to take into account the solvency of companies, that is, a completely reliable company, where we have not seen any breaches, where we have not seen any irregularities, where all the paperwork follows the rules, where they are consistent, and where they collaborate with us. Evidently, the risk profile of such a company will be infinitely lower than that of another company that has been reported for irregularities, is not diligent in handling documentation, and does not have adequate control of substances. Therefore, this is another risk profile that we need to assess. Among the signs we can assess when categorizing a company as likely to divert are the failure to report suspicious transactions when required, not reporting thefts or disappearances when they have indeed occurred, not properly documenting commercial operations due to errors in the conception of commercial, or administrative documents being unable or unwilling to identify suppliers or customers. And of course, when the stock is not justified. In other words, the stock we have to find on the day of inspection does not match what should be there. I always recommend, and here when we conduct courses in Spain, to the security forces and bodies, I always tell them that if it is not a complex inspection where we have some indication of illicit activity, it is always advisable to have prior documentation. We do plan to conduct an inspection of a company on the 15th of August, so a couple of weeks, or a week before, we should ask that company to provide us with documentation, especially regarding suppliers and customers. Why? Because if we show up at the company without having requested anything beforehand, we can end up taking forever and making our work cumbersome, as well as making the company's work cumbersome. Therefore, I recommend that whenever possible and there are no signs of criminal activity, always request the prior documentation from the company. Therefore, we will always look at the date of the operations to see what type of precursors are involved in that commercial activity, their quantity and concentration, and of course, identify the buyer and the seller. 1,000. Well, we already have everything. We have already studied the problems we have with drug trafficking in our region. We know the sanctions from the operator, the police records. We already have a list of clients and suppliers. And for what we are missing, there might possibly be additional reports that we cannot obtain because our agency does not generate them. For example, as a police officer, I might not have access to the tax data in my database, so I will have to ask the competent agency that does have it, and if it is of interest to me for the inspection, to provide it to me. For example, I do not know the details of the employees of the companies, so when I am going to conduct an inspection and I suspect that the inspection has criminal implications, I write to the Ministry of Finance in Spain and say, "Listen, Ministry of Finance, please tell me which employees this company has." And I understand that if there is collaboration, if there is a good feeling, if there are obligations for collaboration between administrations, they will not make it easier. And so, any data we need, whether from customs, as I have explained, the tax control agency, other security forces, other public agencies, or even contact points in other countries, which is very important, especially in neighboring countries where criminal activity may be spreading, is important. I also encourage you that if you attend, when you attend an international meeting, to connect with people, build relationships with people. Besides, it is always worthwhile to interact with colleagues from other countries. You learn a lot and you establish relationships, which is very, very, very important. Well, we have everything now. We have even gathered additional documentation from other agencies. And now we are going to plan the inspection action. How are we going to plan an inspection? Well, logically, we need to form an inspection team. Let's see what type of inspections, because not all are the same, and then how we are going to analyze the results of that inspection. Well, let's detail it now with a bit more depth. Well, I believe the inspection team is one of the most important things. It's crucial that you and your fellow inspectors have a good rapport, have complicity, and don't need to be told what each person has to do, because we all have such coordination that we practically do it automatically. It's very important, and this is achieved, obviously, by conducting many inspections and over time. Well, regarding the inspection team, it should be composed of individuals with proper training. In terms of training, we do not want them to be university graduates, nor to have a master's degree in international security. No. What we want is for them to know about drug precursors, to have sufficient training, and logically, they must know. And then the national regulatory framework. That affects them. And of course, we also talk about an international framework. We have the United Nations there. And in the case of Latin America and the Caribbean, we have the OAS. True specialists, true prodigies in knowledge who enlighten us all, which is why we must turn to them. In other words, the inspection team must have extensive training. I, without intending to be pretentious, would say that those who know the most about drug precursors should be the ones inspecting the companies. Agreed. Well, regarding a conventional inspection, how many people need to go to the inspection? Well, obviously, the more of us that go, the better, more security. I also say that if we frequently conduct a conventional inspection, there might be a bit of a lack of coordination. I always recommend that the team for a conventional inspection consists of three people. One person could be carrying out the inspection that we must always do. Another could be performing physical inspection tasks of the company, warehouses, documentation, and another could be lending a hand by helping any of the other two colleagues. Agreed. And it is very important that those inspection teams, and this is crucial. If there is any student with a leadership responsibility, it is very important that those inspection teams are always the same. Why? As we have explained before, there must be certain level of communication, certain feeling between them and complicity, which is the most important thing. If a fixed team of three people conducts a lot of inspections, by the fifth or sixth inspection they do together, everything will go much faster, everything will be much safer, and the results will obviously be very satisfactory. Well, we now have the inspection team formed, and we will see later if we need more or fewer agents, depending on the type of inspections. And now, let's take a look at the types of inspections we might encounter. We have assessed four types of inspections. We have an inspection. That is more of an informative visit, in which we will try to raise awareness and seek the cooperation of those operators, those companies. Next, we have a conventional inspection, because in our risk analysis we have seen that this year potassium permanganate needs to be controlled more. So we are going to carry out inspections on all companies or a good portion of the companies, a certain percentage of those companies that use potassium permanganate. The third type is the extraordinary inspection, 2001, where we believe there will be non-compliance, because in the preliminary study of the documentation, we have prepared, we have seen things that do not add up. So, we will need to delve a little deeper into this inspection. And of course, the last case of inspection is when we see criminal indications, criminal signs. We are certain that this company, that this firm, that this operator, is diverting precursors to an illicit market. Agreed. Well, those are the four types of inspections that we are going to carry out. The first case would be the informative visit, awareness raising. As we have said, the only thing we are going to do is arrive in a courteous manner, greet the company politely, and what we are going to seek is cooperation. Why? Because, at least in my case, I have proven that we always find better cooperation with kind words and friendly gestures, rather than with a bit of bad temper, bad manners, and so on. Agreed. So, why are we going to visit that operator? Well, it could be that the company is new and we have an inspection visit to explain the regulatory framework. Of course, we are going to explain the consequences of non-compliance. That goes without saying. But we must create a climate of trust. A climate of trust means that if you have any problem, you call me, you communicate with me, we talk, we chat, I explain to you. Now please, if you see anything unusual, please, don't worry. Immediately, don't waste time, call me on the phone, send me an email and tell me what has happened. Of course, we must provide our contact details. Nowadays, man, a phone number is the same. If we don't have official phones, then email is the most reliable way to keep our identity hidden. So, well, I always recommend that we identify ourselves in some way and that we facilitate to that operator, to that person we want to create a climate of trust with, by giving them our mode of communication. Well, now we are facing a conventional inspection. We are no longer talking about that informative visit where we are going to say, hey, it's really good for you to cooperate with us because it can have repercussions, and look, I'll give you my card, call me when there is something. Well, now we are at a more advanced level. What are we going to do? We are conducting a conventional inspection. For example, we see that we have not inspected a company for 5 or 6 years, and we believe it is time to carry out an inspection because it has evidently been a long time since we last did so. Well, that would be a conventional inspection. Another thing we have determined is that the dispatch of a certain situation needs to be more controlled, as it would be another conventional inspection. In short, the one that is routine, but well, it is necessary to meet the minimum quality standards. In this case, what will we do in this inspection? We are going to check the validity of those administrative authorizations that they must possess. Depending on the type of substance and the quantities, it may have one administrative use or another. We are going to verify that the declared use of the precursors is indeed the actual use. For example, if I have piperonal to make fragrances, I must go there and check that fragrances are indeed being made with that piperonal. We are going to identify if we haven't done it before or if we want to corroborate the previous information that has been sent to us. We are going to check those suppliers and those customers. We are also going to check those purchases they have made and those sales. And of course, check the stock. Stock is very important because if we determine the exact stock that should be in a warehouse, we will either dispel the suspicion of diversion or, on the contrary, increase our suspicion of diversion. For example, if there should be 350 liters of hydrochloric acid and I find there are only 36, then they obviously have to justify where those 300 odd liters of hydrochloric acid are, and that raises a suspicion of diversion. Well, as advice, we should always draw up an inspection report, ensuring that our actions are recorded in an inspection report, which will then be signed by all the parties involved. And of course, all the documentation that we collect must be studied, not on site. At that moment, there is no rush. We can do it in our offices and calmly study it thoroughly. Agreed. Well, the third scenario would be an extraordinary inspection because we have seen that there may be administrative breaches. Careful, administrative, not criminal, administrative. Well, evidently the development of the inspection will be sequentially the same as in a conventional inspection. It is going to be exactly the same, but now I do recommend that the acting force be more numerous. Why? Because even so, the documentation must be studied on site. If we see irregularities, we should not get up from our chairs until we determine what type of irregularities have been committed. Therefore, in this case, we might need more personnel. The last case we are going to look at is that extraordinary inspection because we see criminal indications. Our work there is very important. Because we are specialized personnel, meaning very few police units, at least from what I know, have truly specialized personnel in precursors, and we can accompany those police units that are going to intervene because they have seen criminal indications. Agreed. Well, in this case, besides the inspection team, what else will be required? Well, primarily police personnel who understand fiscal documentation, who are knowledgeable about drug trafficking, of course, and who have the legal capacity to make arrests, detentions, and of course, initiate a criminal investigation with the police proceedings. What will we address in the study of purchases and sales, and of course, the stock as well? Because it is there where we will fundamentally find the most important indications of the diversion of precursors to an illicit market. Either we or those specialist units in fiscal control or drug trafficking must report to the public prosecutor's office and the judicial authority. Depending on the sites, it can also be due to specialization or territory. Important, as I mentioned earlier, always draft an inspection report. Why? Because in this case, the inspection report can serve as documentary evidence. Documentary. We are going to report some very, very objective facts and we are going to see some documentation. All of that can be attached as documentary evidence. It can be included as documentary evidence during the oral trial phase or even during the police or judicial investigation. Well, finally, and to end the day's session, what shall we do? Well, logically we have said that we are going to conduct an inspection and that we are also going to seize documentation. We can usually handle that documentation. In our units, unless we see some inflation at the moment and need to be a bit more scrupulous during the inspection process, but normally, we will study it much better in our offices, our premises. Once we have studied everything, we will file complaints or propose sanctions, or directly impose sanctions, if our unit, if our organization is competent to do so. And of course, there may be cases where we have processed an inspection as conventional, and it turns out that once we see the documentation, we find criminal indications. Therefore, we also have to inform the judicial authority or the public prosecutor's office so that they are aware of the situation and can initiate judicial proceedings. Well, friends, that's about it. I hope I haven't bored you too much. I remain attentive in the chat for anything that may arise, and well, I send you my warmest regards from Spain. Please know that I am at your complete disposal, because we all learn from this. A big hug and have a happy day. Thank you very much.